welcome back to Poppin' In with Alexa and Molly. I'm Alexa.
I'm Molly.
And this week we have some fun topics for you guys. First of all, I watched that movie Irish Wish. Yes, I want to say like Irish wristwatch. Anyways, the one with Lindsay Lohan on Netflix, and I watched it once again, so you don't have to. And we have a lot to say about Lindsay Lohan in general. But is there anything that you want to say before we get started, Molly?
Happy Eclipse Day.
Happy
Eclipse Day. This is coming out a couple days after, but I just thought it was...
Happy Bella...
Do I have to watch New Moon to understand?
happy Bella Edward Jacob Day.
Yay. But no, I think you just want to get right into the Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, so I have actually, as opposed to previous episodes where I don't know how to read, I did actually do research on Lindsay Lohan and, well, not this movie, but do we want to talk about Lindsay Lohan or the movie first?
Go ahead and talk about the movie because okay. I'm curious what you watched.
I watched as well. So I honestly didn't go into, so for context, Lindsay Lohan has a newish movie out. I think it came out like last month or whatever.
We've got to get better about that.
Okay, I obviously didn't check that part.
Pop culture.
Everything else I swear I checked on. But anyways, so it's called Irish Wish. Say that five times fast. And it basically, so here is the plot. Spoilers, but also you shouldn't watch
it. Who was the guy in that movie?
Which guy? There's two guys.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and... I didn't actually look up their names either, but I do know both of them from various shows. So hang on, let me pull it up. Irish Wish.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, is it the... Oh, I'm thinking of a
so Ed Spielers plays one of them, and you may know him, actually you won't, but your mom will know him from Outlander, and he is also in the show You.
No, you
haven't seen either of those. Yeah. But he always, the thing is, I always know he's going to play a bad guy because he always plays bad guys in those roles. But this time he did not. And then, what? It's
a pretty low percentage on Rotten Tomatoes.
Does it say? Oh, 39%. That's valid. I have so many thoughts on this movie.
I love this era of Lindsay, though, where she's like, yeah, I'm in like shitty Netflix rom-coms. Yes. Like,
and I have,
what of it?
I have stuff to say about that too, because the thing is, so first of all, I'm shocked this movie was made, but also not, because it was...
That's the kind of movie she's making now, though. Like, it's fun. Like, little, like, rom-coms.
But there are... Okay, so the actors in this movie are insane. So it's Lindsay Lohan, Ed Spielers, Alexander Valhos. Okay, which those aren't, like, huge names you probably wouldn't recognize, but I know Alexander Valhos, Vlahos, whatever.
No, I just am seeing the next, like...
Aisha Curry is in it. Jane Seymour is in it. And I'm just like, how did they get... The rest of them are, like, I think random British people. But I'm just like, how did they get these people in this movie? And the thing is, Ed Spielers is such a good actor. He is carrying this whole movie. So the premise of the movie is... So Lindsay Lohan is a book editor, which... Picture Lindsay. She's supposed to be like the clumsy, quirky girl. Like she keeps knocking things over. What? Yes. Like picture Lindsay Lohan, Kati Heron, the girl from The Parent Trap, as like being like, oh, I'm so nerdy. I wear glasses and whatever.
Well, you use the wrong examples. Those are like good, like.
Yeah, I guess like she's Kati Heron is. Yeah. I guess so. But do you know what I mean? Like it's just.
Talk about like, okay, Lindsay Lohan. Like
she's like the looked over girl or whatever. And it's Lindsay Lohan. So anyway.
But she's got like lip fillers.
Okay, yes. I literally put that in the notes. Lip fillers look. Okay.
So she can't be like the nerdy looked over girl. You know what I mean? Like,
but the thing is, like the other people in this movie are Aisha Curry, who is also like stunning, and Elizabeth Tan. I don't really know who she is or what she's from, but she's also like just a model. So the premise is she is a book editor, and the guy she's editing a book for, he's a famous author. His name's Paul Kennedy, and that's who Alexander Vlahos, whatever, who I know from the movie or from the show Sanditon. Shout out Jane Austen. If anyone's ever seen it, it's phenomenal.
Never heard of that in my life.
It's on the BBC. It's BBC PBS or whatever. It's phenomenal. Anyways, so and basically she is in love with Paul Kennedy, but she introduces him to her friend Emma, Elizabeth Tan, and they fall in love, and within a few months they end up getting married and having to go to Ireland for the wedding. And while they're there, Lindsay Lohan's character Maddie Kelly, like, they are sitting on this like weird like rock bench thing, and she makes a wish to Saint Bridget that she wishes she were she were marrying Paul Kennedy.
What?
And so then she wakes up and she's marrying Paul Kennedy, the author guy that she's representing, and like things go awry, right? But they need a photographer for this wedding.
Oh my god. Enter, this is so layered.
And enter Ed Spieler's character, James, who she meets in like the real timeline because her bag is missing and she thinks it's his bag, and they like try to like at the airport, they're like,
that's so confusing.
It's so confusing. So anyways, so if you guys are still following along, so they hire him as the photographer and they're going to scout locations, but her Paul Kennedy, her fiance, can't come because she accidentally elbowed him in the groin in the middle of the night because she like forgot that he was there because she, you know, isn't actually engaged to him in her mind. And then they have like this romantic little like tryst type of thing for a day because they get trapped because one tree has fallen on one road, and apparently in Ireland there's only one road that you can go on.
But see, I'm confused. Are we still in the dream? Is the whole movie just her dream?
It's not a dream. It's like literally this,
well, not dream,
this
but
little,
like her other this alternate
weirdly dressed
universe.
Woman. She's literally dressed like a grandma, alternate. But she's like maybe in her 40s, early 50s. And she pops out of trees and stuff sometimes, and it's just like winks at Lindsay Lohan to be like, "I've granted your wish." Weird what? Things are happening. It is so weird. So her,
is it funny? Like, were
no,
you laughing?
No, no. I mean, there was...
Was it meant to be funny?
I think so. And I think there were moments where it was
well,
like...
Well, it's comedy. Yeah, rom-com.
It's supposed to be a rom-com. It is definitely, like, it is the worst type of, like, Lifetime romance yeah. movie. So anyways, so her and Ed Spieler's character, James, like, they have to stay at this, like, Irish inn or whatever. And I'm not kidding. There's a whole scene where she starts to drink Guinness, and then they dance with the other Irish people, and they're doing an Irish jig
oh, no.
at this pub. And I'm like, I don't know a lot. I don't think I know any Irish people, but I don't think they're just at the pub on a Tuesday jigging it up, you know? And they're, like, wearing, like, a little bit of, like, traditional outfits. The outfits in this movie are preposterous. Like, I want
to
know.
Can you go to images? I just want to see, like, what this movie looked like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hang on.
I just need, like, some photos. No. Just type in Irish wish. And okay. I needed to, like, know, like, what.
Like, what is she wearing? Like. In this, the outfit that I'm showing Molly right now, she's wearing, it's, like, peak 2010 cottage core look.
She's like running. What's happening there?
She
is that her wedding?
This is when she's trying on an old, like, it's like one of those things where the mom is like, wear this wedding dress that we've worn for the past 200 years. And she runs out because she sees the old little like Saint Bridget lady in the window and is like, that's the woman who granted my wish. And she runs out, runs into the car of the photographer,
oh, no.
flips into
no.
it. And it's absolutely preposterous. But also there's one moment when I knew this movie was going to be so preposterous. So there's one moment where the like famous writer guy, Paul Kennedy, he starts flirting with her friend Emma. And how he starts flirting is Emma's walking down the hallway. And this is like when they first meet before all this stuff occurs. And she's like a product tester for Bergdorf, and her fake eyelash is coming off. And she's like, oh, sorry, I have to go to the bathroom. And he says, well, here, let me help you. And then he proceeds to pop her fake eyelash back onto her eye. And that's their meet cute. For her friend and the guy that she's, like, in love with. And I'm like, I can't imagine if I ran into a man in a hallway, my fake eyelash is coming off, and he says, let me help put your fake eyelash
yeah, I don't
back
think
on.
That would ever happen.
It was literally so weird. And the thing is, okay, so the movie, I wanted to like it so bad because I am here for Lindsay Lohan's comeback.
But you don't have to be here for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can be here, like, for it without like actually having to watch, like I'm proud of her for doing movies yeah. again, but that doesn't mean that I have to sit there and watch her movies,
right? And I just have to say, and this is going to be harsh,
mm-hmm.
her acting in it, and I love you, Lindsay, was some of the worst acting I think I've ever seen in my life.
But I think she's just there to be in movies again and just get that check. Like, I don't think she doesn't need to, like, be amazing. But I always think, we'll continue what you're going to say.
No, go ahead.
I think it's interesting when, and I've seen this a lot, where, like, actors when they were kids were better than when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and she's one of those people. When she was a kid actor, like, she was, like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, like, somehow she just got, like, Well, she's good in, like, Mean Girls, too. I mean, but, like, she, I don't know. It's, but she just, she probably doesn't, she doesn't need to, you know? She's just, yeah. She's got these deals, and she's, she, I guess she's, like, a Netflix deal, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't look into that after I said I did all this research.
She's done, like, several. She's done, like, all those, like, she's had, like, Christmas Netflix movies and stuff, like, Christmas rom-coms. Or am I thinking of?
Yeah, well, she did one, and we'll talk about that. I did, like, a whole timeline. I literally have a note here. It says Lindsay timeline, which I always have to say in my head because she spells it L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, so it's like Lindsay. But anyways, the thing is, so with the lip fillers, I wrote in here, lip fillers look bad on everyone, and the amount of lip fillers, and I'm not blaming these women actresses. I'm blaming our society for, like, being like, okay, you have to look young forever, because the amount of lip fillers that I see on people and, like, the Botox or whatever, like, I think that's part of why some of the acting is so bad, because it's like her face doesn't move. At one point she's crying and it looks ridiculous. But even, like, I watched that show, the new Courtney Cox show that got canceled called Shining Veil. It was a really good show. It was so hard to watch because this is going to sound so mean, and I'm sorry, but her mouth looked ridiculous.
That, like, whole cast, though, like, that commercial with David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston.
I didn't see the commercial.
It's like a, it was a Super Bowl commercial, but it was like the DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just the work. I, like, because I've known that about Jennifer Aniston, but just seeing the two of them together and just the amount of work they've both had done, I'm like, why? It looks worse than if you didn't do it.
But I've never seen lip fillers look good on anyone. And I was watching that new show, the Ryan Murphy show, Capote versus the Swans. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, a bunch of, like, older women, you know, there's a lot of, like, famous actresses in it. But they all, I would say most of them, their faces have had so much work done. Mm-hmm. It's like their faces don't move. And it's like, it's hard to watch them. And the thing is, I just would love to see them age naturally and look naturally beautiful.
Because I wonder what they would look like, because I can't imagine it looking worse. This sounds so mean. But it's kind of the opposite, because I feel like I am complimenting them, because I'm like, they would look beautiful if they didn't get that work done. Yeah. But I would love to have seen what some of these people would look like without the work done.
Right. And so I wrote in here, like, crazy eyes, because throughout it, I think because of the amount of work she's had done, it kind of makes her look like she has crazy eyes when she's acting, like, the whole time. And it's just very interesting, because, again, like, her face, it just doesn't move.
Mm.
But, again,
she's had a rough life, though. That might be for other things. Like, she has lived, you know what I mean? So I feel like she might just have needed that work done. And I don't, again, I feel, like, bad talking about, like, people's appearances.
I do, too.
But, yeah, that's...
I just think it's interesting when actors and actresses do it, because, like, the whole, like... But it's like they have to, especially women, because it's, like, to keep up with, like, the, like, society's expectations. You have to, like, do all this work to yourself, but...
But it's always obvious. Everybody always notices it. So it's not like it's, like, you're doing it in a natural way. Like, it's not like you're sneaking, you know, you're like, oh, I just do this, you know, like, everybody knows when it's like you've gotten work done to your face.
Right.
So it is kind of a weird thing.
It is,
it's almost
weird.
Like, what's the point?
But so, like, I just really wanted to root for her. So anyways, the movie was, it was some of the worst writing, I'm gonna be honest, I've ever seen in a film. There were so many hats in it, and I get that it's like Ireland and, like, British, but, like, again, the outfits, like, the things they were wearing, I was like, it's just very 2010, like, Irish Tumblr. Like, you know, like, those girls who are like, I want to live in the UK, and, like, this is my fashion, but, like, 13 years ago. It was very strange.
Interesting.
But, so that's why I wanted to do a deep dive on Lindsay Lohan, because I know you said you have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. She is a cultural icon. Here is my note. I did a whole thing. So here is, I just want to go into, like, a timeline of Lindsay Lohan. So she began her career as a model at the age of 3. In 1998, she had her breakout role in Parent Trap, which I am definitely...
It's one of my favorite movies.
Me too. I am definitely, like, the target person. Like, I remember saying at the dinner table, you never see her sister in anything.
In high school? That's not, like, a universal...
Ninth grade, like, eighth grade thing. And I just remember, like, both what? My sister, my parents were like, Alexa, she's one person.
Okay, but that is some crazy CGI. Like, I feel like I've seen worse CGI now than that was in, like, 19... Like, that...
Yeah. For 1998, like, phenomenal.
Yeah, that movie raised me for sure. Like, I have vivid memories of, like, watching that for the first time as, like, a five-year-old or whatever.
And I went on a whole thing, and I think,
was
like,
it from that wasn't from the 90s. That's like an early 2000s movie, isn't
it? I'm pretty sure it came out in 1998. I guess that would make
sense for her age, but
release date 1998, July 20th.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy because that's like one of those, because it's a sequel, but it's like one of those that's like the sequel's better.
Yeah. Or a remake.
Not a remake. Sorry, I meant a remake.
Yeah. And it's just crazy.
You know what's the sad thing is they'll probably make a sequel out of that. I guarantee they will.
Yeah. But the thing is,
that,
like,
makes me sad.
I remember years ago, and now I think it's a TikTok trend, but I want to say that I thought about this first where I was like, that plot is insane that they split up their twins and both parents were like, yeah, it's fine that I don't see one of my children ever again.
It is insane, but it is like, it's insane, but magical.
Apparently she beat out 4,000 other actresses for that role. Which is crazy.
She was good in it.
Yeah. But so then in 2000, she was in Life Size with Tyra Banks, which
that was my favorite movie as a kid. I know I just said The Parent Trap was, but like Life Size was my favorite movie.
I always think of her like holding up, this sounds weird because I hate feet, but Tyra Banks like holding up her foot and being like where it says made in China or whatever.
It's kind of the original Barbie. Like not really, but like kind of.
It's so good. And when she's like at the computer and she's just like type.
By Barbie, I mean like Barbie, like the movie.
Yes.
Not obviously.
Not Barbie, Barbie.
No, I was obsessed with that movie.
Such a cultural touchstone for young little girls like us. and now, honestly. Yeah. And then in 2002, she was in Get a Clue, which I also is, you don't remember that one?
I remember it. I don't remember really watching it. Like
I loved that one. I watched it a billion times. It was basically, well, because she was basically a spy, and you know me with spies.
Have we ever told that story on the podcast? It's no. It's my favorite story. It's so funny.
Should I tell it?
I what if we did tell it, though?
Okay, I'll tell it. Whatever. A little bit about
no,
me.
No, I'm saying what if we already did tell it?
I don't think we did. Okay. I think we talked about when we were at the winery.
My favorite. Oh,
so a little bit about me is when I was a kid, I was really obsessed with spies. So it was like, I don't know, third grade or something. I wanted to start a spy club. So I would write like these handwritten notes and I would leave it on students' desks and it would be unsigned. It would just say something basically where it was like, meet me at the playground at like 3 p.m. or something like that.
It's so creepy.
And obviously kids, this is again also post like 9/11 America, like stranger danger era, kids were really freaked out and reported it to the teacher, and they were like, who wrote these? And I didn't want to say that it was me, so then eventually we had to have an all grade meeting in which the principal came and was like, whoever is writing these notes needs to come forward right now, because they thought it was like some creeper. Like,
man.
Yes. And I just remember the level of anxiety I felt, and I eventually had to go to my teacher and just be like, I'm sorry, it was me. I just really wanted to start a spy club. And no one wanted to join.
Aww. I would have joined it. Like, okay. I would have joined your spy club.
You say that, but if someone left a note on your desk and you were like 8 years old that just said, meet me at the playground at 3 p.m., you immediately would be like, Mom! So anyways, I was just a little criminal.
I love spies.
And I don't even know like what we were going to solve or whatever. But anyways.
Yeah.
2002.
So Get a Clue, though. I don't really remember even what that looked like. Like, I remember the movie, but I don't remember. Like, I remember the name. I just don't.
It was basically like she was like a spy and she was a kid in high school.
Brenda Song was in it.
Yeah, Brenda Song was in it.
Okay.
Look at these outfits. Like, it's just so 2002.
I don't think I really watched that movie.
I had a huge crush on whatever this boy's name is. And this is literally his hair in it. It, for context, we'll post this on our Instagram, but it's like literally big hair that's flipped up on the sides. And I was like, that's my man in 2002.
I mean, he's cute. Yeah.
He's cute. He almost looks like, who's Emily Blunt's husband?
John Krasinski. Yeah, John Krasinski. Oh, I totally see that. Yeah. What if it is John Krasinski?
No, no. Kidding. Can you imagine? That'd be all over the internet. But anyways, so 2002, she was in Get a Clue. In 2003, Freaky Friday, iconic. I wanted to join a band, dye my hair, and start wearing chains.
Don't wanna grow up, yes. I wanna get out.
God, when they play at House of Blues.
Take me. Oh. I used to think that was Was that a, is it?
It is a real place.
Okay, good. Because
but it's crazy that they would have a high school band play there.
My favorite, I always thought it was the funniest. It's like a very funny movie. My favorite scene from that movie is when they realize like what happened and Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis like go back to the restaurant.
Oh, and yeah.
The woman is like, and so she knows it's like it's her mother who did it. And the mother like comes out and she sees them and she like immediately tries to walk back. And she's like, no, come back out here.
It's I just think it's so funny. It's such a funny movie. And they're doing a
sequel, but I don't want that.
And they don't need that. Especially one thing with though, Lindsay Lohan's level of acting skills lately. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be real.
No, they shouldn't do it. And also, I think... One thing I do think is really nice, though, is I've heard, I don't know which one of them said it, maybe both of them have said it, but, like, I think Lindsay Lohan was saying that Jamie Lee Curtis, like, throughout, like, her life has, like, always periodically, like, checked up on Lindsay. Like,
yeah, I think they have, like, a really good relationship.
Yeah, like, and just make sure she's okay. And she seems like that kind of person who would do that, you know, yeah. But, yeah.
But anyways, okay, so then 2004, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, which I'm going to be honest.
That girl was a butch. That was my favorite movie.
I love that movie, but it was also
my favorite
movie. I'm going to be honest, thinking back, I don't really understand the plot. And I also.
It's confusing, but that's what's great. It's like for a kid's movie, it was like so good.
Megan Fox was in it.
That was her peak. I think that was her peak, like, beauty. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but she looked so pretty in that movie.
Really? I think she did. I think she always had this thing where she has like a little bit of a rounded face, but it like works very well for her. Like she looks...
She's like her lip gloss. I just always remember like her lip gloss is like so pretty. The scene where...
I'm going to say something really weird. Okay. She always looks very sumptuous. Do you know what I mean? Like she just looks hydrated.
Okay.
Anyways, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I think I know what you mean, but the scene where they're getting ready on the train that lives rent-free in my mind. Like, the scene where they're getting ready in the train bathroom and they're, like, trying to, like, get... Like, I don't know why. I just love that scene.
But I never understand. There's a play in that movie. It's called Eliza Rocks.
It's supposed to be, like, My Fair Lady, and it's supposed to be, like, a modern twist on it.
Okay, I never understood that.
Yeah.
As
well,
a child.
There you go.
Thank you.
Your answer... your question after 28 years has been answered.
Oh, this is good math. Quick math.
It's not it's not the correct math because that movie came out
2004. We don't have to. It's fine. Okay. But anyways, yeah, like such a good movie. Isn't there like a scene where she like goes to like a house party or something?
Yeah, at the end of the movie, she goes to the guy's Megan Fox. No, she goes to Megan Fox's house party and
shout out poet.
And then they bring the guy. It's a whole long story. I'm not going to sit here and give the plot.
It's fine.
But it's like I love that movie so much.
You ever either haven't seen it or you have. I said that
it's just
reverse,
such an interesting plot. It really is, now that I'm thinking
about it. It is. And so then also, so 2004 was a wild year for her because she also released her first studio album, Speak.
Which I think I might have listened to. I don't know.
I think I did too. Yeah. Like, I remember her being
You're forgetting Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yes. So that, I don't remember when that came out, but so 2004 was also Mean Girls, which is like peak her. But I do have things to say about Herbie Fully Loaded. So that came out in 2005, and that was around the time when she started to kind of have her decline, where like on set it was like she kept having to,
she wasn't like coming to,
they postponed production for like 3 days because it was like she was exhausted or whatever, and it was when she was heavily partying and all that stuff. But anyways, 2004 Mean Girls, iconic, love that movie. Would die for that movie. Not the new one. I haven't seen it. I don't care about it. It's fine. We don't need to do a musical. But anyways, so 2006 was her friendship, like that infamous photo of her with Paris Hilton.
Yeah, but
Britney
do you know
Spears.
What the background of that is?
No, tell me.
Oh, well, Paris Hilton was talking about it recently. And because the whole thing is like her friendship with them. No, like Paris Hilton said that they were, and there's actually a video of it too. They were feuding at that time.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan had said that, like, Paris hit her or something. Like, it was, like, a whole thing. And, like, maybe the day before she told paparazzi, it was, like, when she was, like, talking to paparazzi and she was, like, I don't know, whatever. And then Paris was, like, Lindsay, like, did I hit you? Like, she, like, confronts her. They're coming out of the club together. And not together, but she's with Britney. Paris Hilton and Britney Spears were friends. Lindsay comes out and she gets in the car with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris was like, I didn't want to, she later said, like, on, I think it was an interview with Andy Cohen, she was like, yeah, I didn't want to embarrass her and kick her out in front of, like, all the paparazzi, but she was, like, not with us that night. She just got in the car with us.
Yeah.
And that's where that photo came from. They weren't, like, they did not like each other.
Which I think is very interesting, and I, like, want to get into the idea of just, like, the tabloid queens of that era, because I think...
Yeah, it was, sometimes I went through this phase where I watched, like, videos, like, literally, like, 2 hour videos of just like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, because this was when Kim Kardashian like wasn't really famous
her
yet.
Assistant.
she was like her friend, yeah, and she was kind of like her little like, yeah, and they came out of like clubs together, and I just love watching paparazzi videos of that. Like, it's just so entertaining to me,
because the thing is, I feel like a lot of those like actors and actresses, like, it'd always be like, oh, they're partying again, which Lindsay Lohan was partying hardcore, but a lot of them would be like, oh, they're like, they're partying again, blah blah blah, and I think about, I'm like, they're like 18.
Yeah,
like, if I had paparazzi follow me when I was 18, they'd be like, yeah, she has a problem, and it's just like, I'm just,
no, she's just being, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just being 18.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate thing about all that, is because, like, it's so public, whereas, like, Lindsay Lohan didn't get to have a normal, like, college life. And so if she had been at college, that wouldn't have been a big deal. But because she was, like, everybody knew her as, like, a kid actor, and she, you know, everybody had, like, sort of already this image of her, that's, like, what made it. And she obviously did have it. I'm not, like, downplaying it. Like, there was more to it. She was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's also, so the thing is, I know specifically her dad, Michael Lohan, because he was on, and I can't believe, I think about this now, that this was a show, Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Why was that a show?
I remember that. I don't know. I really don't like Dr. Drew.
No. It's just like so exploitive.
Yeah. Yeah, that show, that is so sad. Her whole relationship with her family. And then her mom and her sister had a reality show. I used to watch it.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was it like Living Lohan or something? It was like...
Maybe. But I know that like both that. Her parents admitted to abusing drugs in front of her, like, as she grew up. And, like, I think her dad is just, like, allegedly, but also in my opinion, like, just, like, a really bad guy. Like, it sounds like he exploited her and, like, all this stuff. So it's just... It just seems like she, again, just didn't have a chance, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when we talked about, like, the quiet on set with, like, the child actors, where it's just, like, you grow up in this environment, and it's just, like, what are you, you know, what are people expecting of you as an adult, because you became an adult at such a young age?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is, it's very sad, but I think, and then she ended up, having like another show, I think, like a ended up having a reality show later, and I felt like she still wasn't really
okay. Well, I have that on the timeline, but I also forgot to mention, so early in the 2000s, I didn't realize that this was a thing until recently, that her and Hillary Duff had huge beef because they both dated Aaron Carter,
and I was on Hillary's side. I will never turn against Hillary,
but it's so funny because they were like so catty about it, where it's like, Hillary Duff showed up at the premiere of Freaky Friday, and then Lindsay Lohan showed up at the premiere of A Cinderella Story. Mm. And it's just like, for over Aaron Carter? Which is like, at the time...
Rest in peace. He followed me on Twitter.
What?
Mm-hmm.
The real one?
So they should be feuding with me, actually. No, he did. He was going... But it was... I feel like bad even... Like, he literally was going through, like, his... Whatever he was going through, and he followed, like, thousands of girls like on Twitter, and then one day he declared, he was like, all right, I'm unfollowing people who don't follow me back, and he unfollowed me.
Yeah,
although I think I followed him, so I don't know why he would have unfollowed me, but anyway, I just remember the day I got that, where he like followed me. I was like, what?
That's it was crazy.
Yeah,
but I just think about, like, because they were, I don't know, they were young, like 15 or so, and it was like he basically, I think, left Hillary for Lindsay, and then he broke up with Lindsay and got back with Hillary, and then he cheated on Hillary with her best friend or whatever.
Okay, this all had to have been before Lindsay's party phase, though, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, it was like before, it was like at the beginning, I think.
Okay, because I was like, I don't think she would have even been like...
And the thing is, like, that drama is mildly crazy because of who it is, but also isn't. I'm just like, I could also name people in my high school that had like the same thing that happened to it, but it's just crazy because it's like they're celebrities, so it's just like your teenage date. Like, I always think of that with like Selena Gomez, Hailey Bieber, and Justin Bieber, where I don't know what their thing is, but people are always just like, oh, like, he's still pining after her. I'm like, they dated like 10 years ago.
You know what's weird is I don't feel like we have that anymore. Like, can you think of any, like, I'm talking about teenagers.
Yeah.
Unless we just don't know because the kids know. Maybe the kids know.
But I also think, like, when I think about, like, the tabloids. Oh,
maybe, like, Olivia Rodrigo. Maybe that would have been, like, this version of, like, maybe. Sabrina Carpenter and, like, I don't know how old they are.
I just think the tabloids have maybe, like, gone back a little bit. Because in the early 2000s, when you look at the tabloids back then, like, they were, like, horrible.
It was
and
just
cruel.
A different, yeah.
Like, I think about every week seeing on, like, the cover of People, like, guess whose fat thighs these are or whatever. And just, like,
what? And I was
what?
Like, Mom, please buy me this magazine at the airport. Like, yeah. I did not think, like.
You didn't think twice about it. And now yeah. looking back, you're just like, that's horrible. Like, these people mm-hmm. are people.
Yeah.
And the same thing for her. Like, you see, like, it's just like when you see, like, the retrospectives of Britney and all the paparazzi that are surrounding her. And it's just like, how can people live?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so where was I? Okay. So. Then in 2007, she enters rehab for the first time. In 2010, she goes to jail for violating prohibition. So in 2014, I remember when
this
happened.
Well, just to go back, do you remember when she was in court? Because I always think that's, like, the saddest video when she's, like, she finds out she is going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the judge, she didn't think she was actually going to have to serve time. And the judge, like, told her that she was going to be, like, in jail, and she literally, like, is crying, and it's just, like, so sad. I remember seeing that and just being like, we should not as a society be, like, watching this. Like, this yeah. is just, like, the, I don't know.
And that's why I really want to root for this new, not new, but, like, this yeah. better, healthier version of Lindsay, even though she's a I'm just mm-hmm. bad actress, not good. But I think, and what's interesting is I got the vibe that she I just got this vibe that she was in her head about her acting. Like, she, I think she knows is, like, her comeback and, like, yeah. has to be good. And therefore, it, like, almost made it worse. But because I don't think she's, like, a bad person. And I don't blame her for any, like, of the, like, just struggles that she's had. Because I just think.
She is just the environment she was in. Yeah. And no kid, I mean, really, kids should never be, like, there shouldn't be child actors.
Right.
That, like, I'm not saying, like, just in general, like, ever, but just of that.
Right. Like, well, even I was listening to this clip from Jeanette McCurdy, who was on iCarly, and she was talking about, like, how 90% of the child actors she saw, like, didn't want to be child actors. She was like, every now yeah. and then you would see ones that were coming in and they were, like, tap dancing and, like, big smiles on their face, but most of them she's, like, did
they
not.
They were forced to. I mean, she was, like, she didn't want to. I don't. Think yeah. well maybe she did. I can't remember the book now, but like she her, definitely her it was her mom like
yeah
you know she if was she, paying their way as a yeah. family. Yeah, I think, and Lindsay had such a talent though, like seriously mm-hmm. when you watch just The Parent Trap or whatever, she just had that like special thing.
And like the thing is she has such a grip I think on our society in general, because she like disappeared for almost 10 years mm-hmm. basically. But anytime, like, so I was about to say, in 2014 she moved to Dubai, and I remember when that story came out and like people would just be like, oh, she's like dating this like billionaire guy or whatever, and it's just like, no, she hasn't even done anything in years and years, and people are still fascinated by her.
Do you remember she did that accent, like she had like a fake accent?
No.
Okay, well I don't remember the details of it, so I don't know, but there was like a video where she was confronting somebody and this woman like pushed her over, and she had this like weird accent, but she was doing an accent of where she was living. I can't even remember the details. I just
so
know
I do have that on here.
Okay,
I think I know. Sorry. The confrontation. No, you're fine. I know the confrontation about. You're talking about. And the thing is, this confrontation is not funny.
She thought the woman was kidnapping
yes.
these kids. That's what it was. I remember.
This confrontation is not funny. And apparently the whole world knew about it but me. But I just read about it today. So 2018, what I wrote is punched by a mom.
Yeah.
Is what I wrote. And this was so crazy when I was reading it. So apparently,
when I think about
so
it.
She was live streaming on Instagram in what appeared to be like Moscow or whatever, and she mm-hmm. approached these two adults and two boys who were sitting outside. And after claiming that they were Syrian refugees and needed help, again, this is I'm like literally reading straight from a Time article. She offered a child a place to stay, and then criticized the mother for not working harder to take care of the children. And then she continued to say that the mother was trafficking the kids. At one
yeah,
point,
thought, yeah.
Lohan even put her hands on one of the children. And then the mother supposedly punched Lohan. The Instagram video ended
As
with
she
Lohan
should.
In tears.
Like, that's so wild.
Yeah, that's so crazy. But Lindsay Lohan does credit her time like in Dubai as being like her. I think she got out of the spotlight and really like rejuvenated herself and like found herself. And
yeah, I just, and that's fine. I don't. She's such a unique person that I can't. It's hard to even be like whatever. But I always think it's weird when people just change their identity. Like, yeah. they adopt another...
Madonna being
British.
I don't
want to say adopt another culture, but, like, they just adopt, like they are... They suddenly just become a new person because of, like, another... Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's just there's something very, like, cringy about that.
There is, but the thing is, I think about, like, her life, and, like, I think people do that all the time, but when you're a celebrity... It's much worse.
You're
and the
gonna thing fake is, an accent? Like, that's so weird.
It is weird. But I think, like, people reinvent themselves all the time. But as a celebrity, it's so much harder to do because you've been forced, especially a child actor, like, you've been forced into this life that you didn't choose.
Yeah. No, I know. There's... It's complicated.
And I would like, love...
She does not live a normal life. So that's why I'm trying to say, like, it's hard to even, like, criticize her because it's just, like, she's not, like, a... I can't, like, she's not a normal.
Yeah. And know. I would love to ask her, like, if she could go back to, you know, 1998 and start over, do you think she would be, like, a famous actress again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, she brought a lot of talent into the world, so I would hope so, because I think she, but I also think that at that comes, you know, a price. And, but that's where did you have more to add to the timeline?
No, just that she gave birth, her reality show in 2019 was Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club on MTV.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
about. Her opening a beach club in Greece. And then in 2021, her first, like, kind of like Lifetime style movie, romance, whatever, Falling for Christmas comes out on Netflix. And then in 2023, she gave birth to her son, which is lovely for her.
Yeah. And I'm happy for that. Like, I'm glad. I hope that that's, you know, I hope she still stays where she is.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I actually don't know as much as I say, like, I'm like, I love her, like, I loved her movies and stuff, but I don't really know what she's like as a person. I couldn't even tell you if she's nice or not. Like, I don't know.
The thing is, it's interesting. I think she's nice, but I think she's probably just like, I don't know.
You can't really be nice when you've had that kind of life. Like, you can't, like, again, that's where I say, like, she's not a normal person. Yeah. Like, she's not...
But I also feel, like, weirdly protective over her. Like, watching her in this movie and just, like, seeing her in these wholesome, like, ugly little outfits or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just was like, let Lindsay, like, do Live. What yeah. she wants. Mm-hmm. And, like, she looks happy and healthy. Yeah. And, like, I'm happy for her. Oh, but I also forgot to mention in this timeline, I forget what year it was. I think it was, like, the mid-2000s or whatever, like, 2016-ish or whatever, that this whole scandal came out with, like, Lindsay Lohan's sex list, where it basically was...
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. And the list is crazy.
It's, like, Justin Timberlake, Ashton Kutcher, like, just, like, a bunch of really famous people. But anyways, and so... She was on Watch What Happens Live. And again, I just think about, like, even, I don't even remember when this was, but, like, until recently, and I think they still do this, like, the things that interviewers will ask people, like, there was one of the Vanderpump Rules guys claims that he had sex with Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. And he, like, Andy Cohen was asking, like, how was it? Was it good? And he, like, the guy was like, yeah, like, it was good or whatever. And he was like, how? And he was like, she was really, like, affectionate or whatever, like, and it's just like, why are you asking that? But then he asks her about her, like, sex list or whatever, and she basically, she's like, I plead the fifth, I don't want to comment. And then basically he's still going and going, and she has to say, so I'm gonna be honest, that was a list that I had to make as part of, like, my recovery in rehab, and someone took a picture of it, and it was an extremely personal thing. But I was listening to Dumois, which is, like, this podcast, they have, like, a retrospective where they go back in time or whatever, and they were saying, that's kind of weird, though, like, in what part of recovery and rehab are you writing
Did
a list
need
of
to,
people?
Like, reach out to all of them or something? Because sometimes that's, like, I don't know. But I do think that's what's, I always feel bad for celebrities when they go to rehab, because I'm like, do they even have the, like, I'd be so nervous to trust anybody. And I think there's a lot of times where things get, like, leaked or whatever.
Yeah.
Especially if you go to, like, group therapy, like, I... Like, I saw John Mulaney in, because John Mulaney is, like, my favorite comedian. And we saw a stand-up a couple years ago, and it was after rehab, and he was talking about him being in he told this, like, funny story about him being in rehab, and, like, but he thought people were going to, like, recognize him, and, like, no one even, like, knew that he was famous. So it was kind of funny. Like, no one even, like, realized. But he was like, but I just think, I always think about that. I'm like, but if people did, because he was with, he was with other people. It wasn't like it was just like a private, like isolated thing. Like he was in like group therapies and stuff. So I'm like, any one of those people, I mean, you're going to make people in rehab sign an NDA or whatever. Like, I just, it's kind of wild to me.
I think like, that's why I think like celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew or whatever made sense in the fact of like having a rehab where it's like celebrities or whatever. But I'm like, we don't need to make it into a reality show of your rehabilitation. I don't know.
But I always think like, yeah, I think about her childhood and just, I don't know. That's where I was going to talk about Dakota Fanning because I'm like,
oh yeah,
I'm like, how do I like, I'm in my Dakota Fanning era, by the way.
Okay.
And I was, when you were talking about Lindsay Lohan, I immediately thought of Dakota Fanning though, because she hasn't really been in a ton of stuff in the last, like, I would say 10 years right. or so. But suddenly this year, it's like, I feel like she is in a lot of stuff. And I just always think about her because she was a child actor. And there is not, like, one bad thing that's, like, at least that we know of. Like, she seems like she has just, like, her timeline of events, like, wouldn't be, like, she wouldn't have a timeline. You know what I mean? Like, there's not.
Right.
Like, everything seemed to have worked out for her. It's so interesting, how, like, the difference. I assume that means, like, family. Like, maybe she just has a really good family. But I'm like, what is the difference? Because she is, I would say, like, more of a child movie star than, like, Lindsay Lohan was.
Well, the thing about Dakota Fanning is also, like, so I would say Lindsay Lohan was in, like, a lot of, like, teen, like, whatever, teeny bop or whatever.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning was, like, she could have won an Oscar at age six.
Which type she should have, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, her act, I mean, she was, like, an incredible,
it is, like, it's kid actor. Crazy. And I think it's interesting because I remember the first time, like, I saw Dakota Fanning, I guess, like, her return to screen or whatever was Twilight and just being like, wait, what?
New Moon. And she's still so good. Like, she's so good. And I always think, I'm like, what happened because, not what happened, but, like, it's weird that she's not in more things. Maybe she just, I know she went to college. She seemed to have, and she, I always saw, like, she was in high school. She had, like, a normal childhood. Maybe that's the secret to it or whatever. Yeah. It's just, like, living life like a normal, right. I don't know how she had the time for it. But, and then I always thought it was that because, like, Elle Fanning became very famous.
Yeah.
She was nominated for, like, you know, Emmys and stuff for, like, The Great and everything. And so I'm always, like, how, it's weird, though, because I think Dakota's amazing. So it's, I don't know.
It's weird because Elle Fanning is, like, the famous one now, but I think she, like, just became famous as more of an adult, like, teenager and adult.
That's true,
versus
yeah.
Dakota, who is, like, younger. But I do think that is the key. Like, I always think of Emma Watson, who is, like, obviously a child star, and she is, like,
she takes her education seriously.
Yeah, like, she's thriving. She's, like, an ambassador.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I don't know if it's, like, specifically an American problem. Because when I think of, like, I never hear about child stars and other, like, British child stars suffering that way. But also, I'm not British, so I don't know. I guess I wouldn't. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, Dakota Fanning's American. And I don't know. It's interesting to me, like, the difference. Because I always forget about Dakota Fanning almost.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? She's fine. Like, she grew up fine. And I mean, even to go back to, like, Hilary Duff, I think she was fine too. She didn't really seem to have,
I
think it is all about, like, your family as well.
The thing is, I think Hilary Duff is quote unquote fine. I think there might be things, like, I don't know, below the surface. Because sometimes I see her in interviews and I'm just like, there's something interesting.
She's all there,
But I love her.
Yeah. But Dakota Fanning, I'm so excited because she's in the show Ripley.
Yeah.
And she's also about to be in an M. Night Shyamalan movie it's like M. Night Shyamalan's daughter wrote this movie.
Oh.
It's coming out. It's called, like, The Watchers or something. Or I may have gotten that wrong. I think it's called The Watchers. It's something like that. It looks really creepy.
Okay.
And she's in that. And I'm like, she's back. Like, I miss Dakota Fanning.
The thing is, I feel like when you become so famous early, and I think Emma Watson does this too, is you get to kind of, like, pick and choose your projects, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Versus, like, I think it's interesting, like, with Lindsay Lohan, she became famous really early. And she could have, I think, picked and choose her projects, but she kind of took such a tanking on her name and, like, reputation that she couldn't. But if you hold it up like Dakota Fanning, I think it's not like she needs to, like, I don't know, work to make money or whatever, you know, like, I'm sure she has plenty.
I guess so.
I think she's just like, if a script comes that I like, then I'll do it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I love about her. And so we'll transition into our next topic, which is Ripley. But first I want to take a pause for wine. Do you need more?
I'm a good.
Okay. Just The wine that we're drinking is super sweet.
It is actually the prettiest label.
It is so pretty. It has a little black dog with a bunch of dragonflies and flowers on it.
It's like pink flowers. It's like a pink.
It's Chateau Morset Sweet Mountain Laurel Table Wine. I think it's actually supposed to be like a dessert wine, but this is the type of wine I just like drink for fun.
The way Misty yawned was so funny.
Misty is my cat. She just yawns like that. She's up in her high tower observing her territory currently. But yeah, so Ripley.
So I've only gotten to watch 2.5 episodes of it, so we can't do a deep dive quite yet. But we can do like an update, I guess. Yeah. Weekly or something. But I plan on finishing this show by like this week. But I don't even know how many episodes it is actually.
I think it's like 8 or 10. I looked before.
It's it stars Andrew Scott and Dakota Fanning is in it. And Johnny
Flynn.
And Andrew Scott plays Tom Ripley, which is what, like, well, it's based on...
Fantastic Mr. Ripley?
A Talented Mr. Ripley. That's what it is, on a book. I think this show is more based on the book than the movie was. So the movie was the one that starred, like, Matt Damon as Ripley, and Jude Law was in it, Gwyneth Paltrow. I saw it after I watched Saltburn, because... it's very much like Saltburn was supposed to be like the new kind of I've seen it described as like a Gen Z version of it or whatever. I don't know. And it's kind of similar, but I thought it was good. I feel like it's one of those, like, if you had seen it like when it came out, maybe you would be more appreciative, because it's like my mom like loves it. Like,
when did it come out?
Was the one who showed it to me. I like the 90s, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah. And so it's weird though, because it's a beautiful movie, like a visually beautiful movie. They're like they're very hot. Like, it's like, you know. Mm-hmm. But this show is like a more gritty version of it. Yeah. It's all in black and white as opposed to like the colorful movie.
Which I actually love.
It's interesting. And the acting in it is so good. Andrew Scott, I feel like we talk about him every episode.
Just past two. But he's having his moment.
I love him, and he's so good in it. Like, the facial expressions he makes in this show, like, he wouldn't even have to speak through the show, and you just know, like, what he's thinking, and, like, what, I don't know, he's so good, and he's so good at playing both, like, a very nice person, like he did in All of Us Strangers, or he's good at playing, like, just a creep, like, he does in Sherlock, or in this show, he plays Tom Ripley, who, if you don't know, he's, like, a fraudster, like he's
like a con man type thing.
Con arts, yeah. And he is hired by this man who thinks that he knows his son, because his character, because Tom Ripley is kind of a liar, like he pretends to be like people he's not. And the dad hires him to travel to Italy to convince his son to come home, because his son's been living in Italy and working, like, saying that he's been painting and writing, and he's like, no, he needs to come home and come back to reality or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, since you're his friend, can you please come and, like, can you please travel there? Like, I'll pay your expenses. And so Andrew Scott's like, yeah, like, okay, like, you're going to pay. Because he's poor. He's, like, really poor. And he's like... Oh, yeah,
there's, like, a scene where he picks up his soap out of the dispenser, and I'm like, that is the nastiest. That
disgusted me so much. And when he's in the shower, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Anyway, well, that's the plot. So he goes to Italy, he travels there, and he's like, hey, like, I forgot Johnny Flynn's character's name.
Dickie.
He's like, hey, Dickie, like, I'm your friend, like, you know me. And he's like, he's like, we met in New York. And he's like, yeah, like, I don't remember you, but, like, sure. And he's just kind of like, whatever, you know, he's very chill. He's very, like, Jude Law played his character in the movie.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning plays his...
girlfriend.
Dickie's girlfriend. And she's very much, like, suspicious of Tom.
Which, like, I don't know if we... Just spoilers, just in case we accidentally say something.
All I was really going to say, is just kind of giving the plot. But it's just kind of like him... Yeah, I won't go into more because there is spoilers. But.
So I have to say, when you were talking about earlier, you said, I wonder how it's going to be compared to... When we were texting about it earlier, compared to the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, because I thought it was the Fantastic Mr. Ripley. And in my head, I was thinking of Fantastic Mr. Fox. Okay. And I thought that was the original. And I thought to myself, wow, this really is a new take.
So you thought this show... was the same storyline as an animated movie about a fox.
I don't know. I was
like Robin Hood.
Yes, I was like, I mean, it's been done before. I was like, yeah, this is a new take. They did need to remake it.
Wow.
And you like making that whole explanation, like as soon as you said it was Matt Damon, I was like, I've been wrong.
Wow.
While watching this, like literally, I'm two episodes in, and the whole time I'm like, I wonder how they did this with a fox.
That is so wild. I don't even know what to say. By the way, Fantastic Mr. Fox is like one of my favorite movies.
I know. I really want to watch it. The thing is, I've only seen one Wes Anderson movie, and that's wild because I know I would be very into Wes Anderson films. I want my home to be a Wes Anderson film.
Just like such a good, it's so funny. Like it's so good.
Fantastic Mr. Ripley.
I saw behind the scenes of Fantastic Mr. Fox, and apparently. Not apparently, I saw it with my own eyes. He had them act it out. So you literally see George Clooney, because he played like the fox. He's like running around, like eating things, like going, like he's like, it's so crazy. He had the actors like act out the movie.
I believe it.
It's wild.
I believe it.
So anyway, yeah, Ripley is very good. I'm interested to see how it goes because I did. So I started, I was watching the third episode last night. And something wild, you know, when you're, like, falling asleep watching something, and then you, like, wake up, and you're like, whoa, like, something wild had just happened. I'm like, dang, I missed it, so I need to go back. But, yeah.
So, I want to talk about one of the actors in that. His name is Johnny Flynn, and he plays Dickie.
Yeah.
And I am so obsessed with him, and I have to tell you why, because I know you're going to think it's from the movie Emma, which also has Anya Taylor-Joy in it.
I love him in that.
He is. I knew him way back when.
I think he's like the most romantic character ever.
It's interesting because he has a very interesting face. Mm-hmm. But I knew him way back when. Like, I have watched, it's this show, it's called Lovesick. And it's a British TV show.
Yeah.
I've watched it four times. I literally started rewatching it last week again. I love it. I love it so much. But the premise is basically like he's the main character. And in the first episode, he finds out that he has chlamydia. And he has to go back through like the past 10 years of like girlfriends and hookups to tell them. And each episode is like him like just like and it just shows like a character like how they grow from like the age of 18 to like 30. In terms of love and relationships, what I think is funny, though, about that show is that the first original title of it was Scrotal Recall.
What?
Yes, because it was about, like, chlamydia, I guess. And it doesn't fit
That's so stupid.
It's so stupid. It doesn't fit the vibe of the show at all. But when you look up the show and you look hit or Johnny Flynn up and that show pops up, it'll say Lovesick, but the actual, like, image for it says Scrotal Recall.
That is so goofy.
It is so stupid. But I love that show so much.
So my thing with him, though, that I've, like, observed the show, I think he has a terrible American accent.
He does, but I think he has a bad American accent, but I think it's good for that time period because it takes place in like the 50s-ish.
Ripley, I actually don't know what it's supposed to take place. I think 50s.
If I had to guess, they're on a typewriter. They're wearing high-waisted pants.
Yeah. I think he has a good 50s American. I don't actually know when the movie takes place. I hadn't even thought. I don't remember.
I think he has a good 50s American accent, but he is... That's interesting that you think he's, like, super romantic, because I think he has everything going against him to not be.
No. I'm saying the character in Emma is, super romantic. Like, I just love his character.
Yes. Him as an actor, though, it's interesting that they cast him in that role because he has, like, such a serious face. Like, even when he smiles, he just kind of, like, seems irritated all the time.
In Ripley?
Yes, in Ripley and in Emma and, like,
Emma
everything.
Well, Emma made sense. Like, that was the character. Yeah. Like, that made sense. But in Ripley, I do agree because, like, again, like, not to go back to the movie, but, like, Jude Law plays his character in the movie. And you know Jude Law. Like, Jude Law is, like, really hot. Like, he's very, like, I don't know. And I don't feel like he's just different. He's just a little bit different. He's almost kind of, like, yeah, he's more serious, I would say. Because I feel like Jude Law's character is very much like a playboy. I don't really get that vibe from Johnny Flynn, like, when he's playing him. But I was going to say, Johnny Flynn's a musician, actually, isn't he more of a musician than even an actor?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think he is.
I could see that vibe for him.
I don't know which one he started out as, but I really like him a lot.
I do, too. I didn't know he was 41. So I
what?
Yeah. Let me Google that again. I'm pretty sure because I was, like, shocked by it. But also, so when I was looking him up, I didn't even look this up, but it was, like, one of the things that popped up where it was, like, how did Johnny Flynn get his scars? Because if you look at his face, I'm going to be honest, his face is a little messed up
Yeah,
he's 41. He was born in 1983.
That does not look like a 41-year-old. That's crazy.
This is the most British thing ever. His wife's name is Beatrice.
I love that.
But so he got all these scars on his face because when he was, I think, three years old or younger, he was attacked by a bull terrier. And I was like, that's interesting because it's not that his face is bad. It's just like I thought, I'm going to be honest, I thought the scars, I was like, oh, maybe he just had like really bad like acne or something. Yeah. Or whatever. Like he has huge scars on his face, which is fine. By a bull terrier. I was like, that's crazy. And I love him.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think like Andrew Scott does a good American accent too. I don't think I've ever heard him do an American accent, but I thought it was actually pretty good.
There's a scene where he like switches back to a British accent to like mock someone or whatever. And they're like, wow, that's really good. And it makes you laugh because like, he's Irish.
But, yeah. Anyway, yeah, he is Irish, but he does a great American accent. And I think it's a good show. I'm interested to see where, because again, I just started episode 3, not to give it away, but like something. And you don't know the story, so you're going to, oh, you don't even know the story. See, I at least knew it, so I knew that this was going to happen, but it's pretty wild.
And I would say the quality of this show, so I love that it's in black and white. Like, it feels very artistic, but a lot of the shots, like, it feels like an HBO show, you know, where it's just like, this is a beautifully shot show. Like, the scene where he's, like, on the subway, and it's just his face that, like, you can see, and it's just the angles, it's just so well done. It's from the director of the show The Night Of, which is also really good. I never finished it because I was watching it with my family. They thought it was boring, but it's really good, so I need to finish it anyways.
I feel like you know like a lot of British shows that like I don't.
I am an Anglophile. Like, I British people should watch out.
I do love British shows. I feel like you'll name things that I've just like never even heard of.
I am British,
yeah,
in case anyone's wondering. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can say in a British accent is the word mascara, like from Rimmel London. Where,
go ahead. From what?
From like the Rimmel London commercials where they go, mascara. That was bad. That was really bad. Anyways.
You're keeping that in for sure.
Anyways, so far we really like it. Really good. Also, one thing we wanted to talk about this episode was Joe Keery. Did I say his name right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've recently become obsessed with him. Goodbye, Timothy Chalamet. Hello, Joe Keery. Oh my gosh.
So is it because of...
The song? Yes, because So he has this TikTok famous song. It's called The End of Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of the End? End of Beginning. And I didn't realize that it was him. Mm-hmm. And it's under... Yeah. He has like a...
Joe, DJ.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. Joe, but it's DJ. Yeah. And I listened to like a bunch of his music and I was like, okay, he's phenomenal. But The End of the Beginning, it's basically a song about like he went to DePaul University for acting. And there's like a scene where it's like a line where he talks about like being back in Chicago. And that's basically, and it's just like a good episode. Or
Oh my God.
Okay. This is why this isn't a music podcast. And it's just like basically a song about like going back to a place when you were young and just like feeling like remembering who you were in that time. And I just it is really good because it's like a very melancholy, like,
yeah, it is
heavy synth song. But I'm just like very into it. But his interviews are interesting. So you're obsessed with Joe Keery, and I want to know.
But I'm obsessed with him from like an actor, because like, I love him. Like, I think he, because I watch Stranger Things. The best
actor in that show, I think. It's a hot take.
Yeah. I mean, Winona Ryder's on that show, so that's.
I don't think as an adult she's as good of an actress, I'm going to be honest.
Interesting. You know what I just thought about? Mm-hmm. Has she been in anything like as an adult? Like, I'm saying in the last like 5 years or whatever.
I don't think other
than Stranger Things?
I don't think so. Like, Stranger Things was her big thing, but like, I think she is going to be in the new Beetlejuice.
Oh, she is, yeah. Interesting. No, he is good. He's very good. He was also in the new season of Fargo, and he was really good in that.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I just love him. I think
he's 31.
Is he? I actually didn't know.
Yeah, I looked it up the other day because all these actors play teenagers, and it's like, oh, I know, they're actually 45.
He's got that hair. Like,
he's got the hair. He's just...
So I've been watching interviews with him about the song. He's talking about the song. And there's like some certain interviews he's in where he's wearing like a little jean jacket and his hair. And I can't explain it. He looks like he just woke up from a nap. And he, you know when like a little puppy wakes up from a nap and they're so like soft. They're like warm and like soft or whatever, like little puppy like warmth. That's what he reminds me of. I can't explain it. Like, that's what he looks like in those videos.
It's so interesting because the only interviews I've ever seen are the ones where he's talking about that song. And the thing is, I feel like in Stranger Things, he plays Steve, who is very, he's almost like a golden retriever boyfriend type of, or at least he is like in the later seasons, I think.
Yeah.
But I think in real life, he's just very like, they're like, what do you think about this song? He's like, well, I wrote it like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. He's like, yeah, I guess it's cool. I'm not.
Now it's like famous. Like,
yeah. He's just like very just like, yeah, I mean, people like this thing or whatever. Mm. I'm obsessed with that song. It is
when I think a masterpiece. One thing I think is interesting about actors that are musicians and actors is like they seem to prefer to talk more about their music than acting.
Yeah.
To say they're like known. Like even like. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I just think it's interesting that they are like that because they just seem to be more, you know, willing to talk about their music. And it's funny because I'm like, yeah, but you wouldn't be where you – I'm not saying this about Joe Keery. I'm not saying this about him specifically. But just in general, I'm like, you probably wouldn't be where you are with your music if it weren't for your acting.
Right.
For being famous, for being an actor. So I always think it's interesting that they take that, like – yeah. And they almost seem to, like, for example, I think if Joe Keery were doing an interview, like, he probably, I feel like he doesn't like to talk about Stranger Things as much as he likes to talk about, like, his music.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Sure.
And maybe it's because I think maybe, like, the music feels more, because there was this whole thing where they were like, you're releasing an album and you're, like, doing the next season of Stranger Things. Like, that's crazy. But I feel like, too, maybe, like, actor musicians, like, the music feels, like, more personal and more, like, in control as opposed to just, like,
no, that's
true. I'm acting in this thing that this other person created, maybe.
Like, they're just more passionate about it. But I just always think that's interesting because I'm like, yeah, but you – I don't know. Like, I
– yeah.
But I – it's like we were saying this in an episode before. I just tend to connect more with, like, actor – like, I care – I care more about, like – I don't want to say that. That sounds weird. But
I connect more with, like, actors in TV and movies than I do with musicians. Even though I'm,
I was like, going to say more with music and I'm, more than music, and I'm like, that's not true. I love music, but I do care more about, like, actors than I care about, like, artists.
And I think the thing is because in movies and TV and stuff, it's because I can see myself in certain actors or, like, see – whereas in music, it's, like, an emotional touchstone, but it also –
right. Like, I love songs, but I don't sit there and, like, love the – artist. Like, I've never been, like, a fan, a huge fan of, like, a specific artist other than, like Billy Joel or something, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, even, like, people be like, with Beyonce's new album, I was like, people know, because I've seen Beyonce 3 times, I mentioned this in the last podcast, I'm like, oh, you love Beyonce, like, how do you like her new album? I'm like, it's 27 songs, and it's country. I'm like, I like Beyonce, like, there's no, like, even when Lizzo came out, I love Lizzo, I'm like, I'll listen to, like, the popular songs, or like I'll go through maybe and just like listen to a few and be like, oh, I like this one or that one.
But by the way, let's go back into, sorry, I didn't mean to fully interrupt you, but when you talk about Lizzo, did I not say in the last podcast, I was like, I took that as her, when she said she quit in her, that Instagram, like I took that as I quit, like I'm done, like I'm just over it. Like I took that as I'm over it. Mm-hmm. And you were like, or not you, but, like, everybody was like, I, like, she's quitting music. And I was kind of like, I bet she doesn't mean it like that. And she came out and said that. She was like, I didn't mean music. I just meant I'm done, like, defending myself.
Right. I only said that because the New York Times is like, she's quitting music.
I know, but I'm like, why didn't anyone, like, I feel like I was the only one who thought
I think you were, like, I thought you were right when you said that. But it was just like, but what did she expect? Like, she posted that with no context of just being like, I quit. Like, what are, I don't know, what are people supposed to interpret from that?
I don't know.
But anyways, was there anything else you wanted to say about Ripley? Or Joe Keery? We weren't even talking about Ripley. What am I?
I know. Well, no, I don't have anything more to say about Ripley because, like I said, I'm going to try to finish the show. Yeah, and maybe I'll say more next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you have anything?
Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher are getting divorced. Did I say his name wrong? Did I say Conan? Sacha Baron
Cohen
and Isla Fisher are getting divorced. I didn't know they were together.
Oh yeah, I love them as a couple.
That is so crazy to me and so random. If you don't know who Isla Fisher is, she was in like Confessions of a Shopaholic. What's the princess?
She's like the one that everybody gets confused with Amy Adams. Like she kind of looks like her, but she's very funny. She's Australian.
Yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat. There you go.
And I love, so the thing is, like, I am a Borat fan. Like, I love, like, I love Sacha Baron Cohen.
I did.
I don't know now. I feel like I shouldn't. Like,
why?
Well, because the whole thing, I mean, he's like being like canceled right now. Like, I don't know. Really? Not really. But like, well, I mean, Rebel Wilson came out and like said a bunch of stuff about him. Like, he, she was on his movie.
Oh, I did see a headline with her.
What was the movie? Now, it's like on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of the name of it.
I was in the grocery store literally yesterday, and I saw a tabloid. Her, yeah, I saw a tabloid that was
so
like
weird that that's still even a thing.
Rebel Wilson, my real story.
Yeah, and so I guess in that interview or whatever, it's a tell-all book she just came out with. Oh. She talks about Sacha Baron Cohen and how when they were in she was in one of his movies. I literally can't remember the name of it right now, but it was like just one of his like dumb comedies. I don't know. I didn't see this movie, but she basically accused him of like sexual harassment.
Grimsby.
She accused him of like being basically Sacha Baron Cohen and like trying to do like weird scenes with her, and yeah. She didn't like really consent to them, and she was kind of saying like, no, I'm not comfortable doing this, and he like pressured her into it. I can't remember what the scenes were exactly. And it's funny because like I always think of like I said, I am a Sacha, like I'm a fan of his movies, and I've obviously his movies like are outrageous and just crazy, but I've never really thought about it with like him doing those scenes with like women and like making women uncomfortable. Like I've just never even like I guess that's just never even been considered. Yeah, so I think she basically just accused him of like, you know, I guess sexual harassment. I didn't really read everything.
I just didn't know they were together. And like sometimes like celebrity couples will pop up on my thing when I'm just like, what?
Well, so after after all that came out, then Isla Fisher suddenly dropped like, yeah, we're divorcing. And did you see the way she announced it?
No.
It's like a picture of the two of them in like tennis outfits on her Instagram like story. Maybe it was a post. It might have been a post. But on her Instagram, it's a picture of the two of them in like tennis outfits, and she's like, she makes like a tennis pun and is like, yeah, like it's like, I'll announce it, like we're divorcing, like we're splitting up or whatever. It's like super weird. And so it's just like all, it's like one of those things where it's just like all piling on. Like, I guess, I don't know if it's because of all that, maybe they were already in the process and it's just like the timing is just weird. Yeah. But, it makes me sad because I actually thought like they were such a weird couple they're both comedians, I guess, but like.
They are, but I just, it's hard when I like think of him as Borat and then just.
And
to,
then
like, think
Isla
of,
Fisher. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's interesting, but mm-hmm. I mean. I just didn't know they were together. And it's, like, the same thing as when I found out that Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes were together for, like, 6 years.
Yeah, that's a weird
years.
One. That's a
and they're
super
not,
weird one.
They're not
one.
Together anymore. It was, like, the whole 6 years they were together, there was, like, hardly anything about it unless I just didn't see it. But, and then when it was just, like, oh, they've broken up.
She's
and I was like
a few people.
But they did it for, like, a while.
Or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. No, but she's definitely, yeah, they did date. And that's a weird, like, how did they even get together? I don't really see them.
I don't
together like I don't know, but also Katie Holmes is never like other than that like she's not. You never hear about her.
Well, I think because this is all alleged, but I think there was something having to do with like her divorce from Tom Cruise, where it was like she wasn't supposed to date anyone for a while, or like it couldn't be public. Alleged.
Yeah.
Alleged.
But yeah.
So yeah, that was crazy. And then the other one that I wrote down was Gigi Hadid and Bradley Cooper. I literally wrote Gigi and Bradley Cooper. Like what? What they're dating? That's mm-hmm. weird. I did not know that. And it was basically like, I just saw this post about like celebrity couple outfits, and they were like number one. And I was like, are they a couple? Isn't she like 12? I don't understand.
She's like our age.
Okay, yeah, but he's like an adult. I just picture him.
He's
like,
always dated younger women.
Don't
like,
they all?
No, I mean, yeah.
That's why everyone has to get Botox. Because everyone's out here trying to date like 26-year-olds.
I know.
Anyways, clearly I've had some wine. But anyways, so those are my two like weird celebrity couples that I wasn't prepared to do with this episode.
Well,
but
we can
I
talk
know
about more. But I know what I was pointing out was to talk about Sacha Baron Cohen because that was real. Like that was very new.
Well, also Kirsten Dunst and what's her
Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons. Okay, they
I love them.
When they found out that they were married, I was like, that is so random. I would not have predicted that. But then, like, I see them in interviews and I see them together. And, like, do you ever see couples where you're just like, this, they look
not they look similar.
I actually
but they
think
kind of,
they look alike, to be honest.
Like
with you.
They look like they would go together in like a weird way they that do, I can't yeah. describe.
Well, they met on Fargo. Like they were in Fargo together. And that's why, yeah. So I guess oh. that's how they got together. But it's, I think it's funny because everything she's in, he's like in a ton of stuff. I think he's amazing. Like he's honestly, like whenever he's in something, I'm like, I'm seeing it. But she, everything that she's in, he's in. I'm like, can she just be in her own movie? Because yeah. he's in the, I don't think he's in it for, I don't think he's like a main character, but I do think he, I know he's in her new movie, Civil War.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, he's all up in that trailer.
Yeah.
But that's, like, I was talking with our friend Megan, friend of the pod, Megan, shout out Megan.
Friend of the pod.
This weekend about how, like, the Friday Night Lights guys, so him and the guy who played Matt Sanderson, I was like, I feel like they
I don't watch that show, so I don't know the characters.
You would recognize him. This guy. Oh, Matt Saracen. Sorry. anyways, he,
I did
like,
not recognize. What's his name?
Matt Saracen.
No, the actor.
Oh, the actor? Whew. Good question. I think his name's Matt Loria. Yeah. Nope. That's not him.
All right. We'll figure it out
another time.
But
anyways, I feel like both of them like didn't really do anything for about like 10 years. And then suddenly, so the guy who plays Matt Saracen, he is like all up in the Mike Flanagan shows now. Like he was in Midnight Mass.
They don't watch
He was
though,
in
so
The Midnight Club. And then he was also in... he was also in whatever one that just came out. Fall of the House of Usher. And then What's-His-Face, Jesse Plemons, is also, like, he's been in a bunch of stuff recently. I would say he's a good actor, but anyways.
Well, he was on Breaking Bad, too, so he was...
Yeah. But anyways, so they're, like, a Campbell... or
What are you typing?
Sorry, I was just typing...
Say, now she's all of a sudden typing Pete Campbell. Like, where are we going with this?
Okay, so that's another celebrity couple.
Okay.
So
yes.
this guy, Continue. So the guy who played Pete Campbell in Mad Men, his name is, I'm gonna attempt this. It's gonna be bad. Vincent,
I think it's Cartizer.
And Alexis Bledel. Until I think like recently or whatever, they were married, and she like had a cameo on Mad Men. But I remember finding out that they were married, and I was like, that makes perfect sense because they're another couple where I'm just like same. Same, like, vibes.
You know what I realized? He kind of gives me Roman Roy vibes a little bit.
Interesting.
And I think that's why, because okay, so I'm going to say something, and I was finally, like, validated by Megan the other day. Shout out Megan again. Because Megan just started watching Mad Men, and she was like, and Pete, like, she was talking about Pete, like, how much she loves Pete, and I was like, wait, like, you like Pete? Because I always liked Pete too, but I felt like that was weird of me because, like, obviously I'm attracted to John Hamm, but like yeah. I was also attracted to Pete, and I thought that was weird of me.
I was really attracted to the character on that show that ends up with Elizabeth Moss. He's like a designer. Spoiler: he's like a designer or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know who you're talking about, but I didn't.
I did not think that the guy who played. He just seemed like.
He looks good there, though.
I don't think he does. She's pointing with at pictures beard. Of him with a beard. He still looks like a, like, he just looks like a softy to me. Do you know what I mean?
Or like, kind of slimy, because he's, like, yeah. a very slimy character.
Like, if he got into a fight, like, he can't defend my honor.
He does get into a fight, doesn't he, in the show?
Yeah.
He punched, remember, is that him with the British guy? Do you remember that scene?
Yes,
they
I think
fight,
you're right.
Like, they
yeah.
literally fight each other.
But he just, like, and you know what? Maybe he's a nice guy. But anyways, him and Alexis Bledel, back to, like, celebrity couples. I've gone us taking this down on a road here. They just, like, seem like they went together. But they got divorced, so, like, whatever. But you know what I mean? In a similar way to Jesse Plemons and Kristen Dunst, where it's, like, their vibes, their energies, their color coordinations match.
On the topic of Mad Men, there's a few celebrity couples from Mad Men that are weird to me. Can I say them?
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth Moss used to be with Fred Armisen, which is so
what?
Weird. Yeah, that's like, super weird to me. And then January Jones used to date Jason Sudeikis. I've Googled Jason Sudeikis a lot, so I know.
That's interesting.
For sure that happened.
That's not, like, crazy. Like, I could see them together. I just, like, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And John Hamm is now married to a woman who was on Mad Men. She was the one who played, oh, my gosh, she's, like, super young. Ugh, I don't remember who she played, but, yeah, he ended up getting married to her.
That's interesting.
She's not, like, a main character on the show. She was on it, like, later.
A celebrity couple I always think about is Stanley Tucci is married to Emily Blunt's sister.
I know.
Of which they met, like, it was, like, his wife died. So Stanley Tucci's wife, like, passed away or whatever.
sorry, not or whatever. She did. Sorry. She did pass away. Sorry, everyone, specifically Stanley Tucci. I love you. Anyways, and then I think he met Emily Blunt's sister on the set of The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh.
But I don't think they got...
I didn't know how they met. I just knew they were together.
I don't think they got together until, like, years later. But I just think about, like, that Thanksgiving, you know, where it's just, like...
John Krasinski...
Emily Blunt
and Stanley Tucci are like,
and then Emily your Blunt's family. Sister. Imagine being Emily Blunt's sister. No one even knows your name. But honestly, that's the no, way to we're go. Like
Emily Blunt's sister. That's you know who I think is absolutely wild.
Huh?
Being Casey Affleck's kids. Can I say why?
Yeah.
Because so Casey Affleck's wife, or I don't know, like his partner, is Joaquin Phoenix's sister.
What?
Yes. So imagine being Casey Affleck's kids. You're, now, especially now. So Joaquin Phoenix is one of your uncles.
Yeah.
Your other uncle is Ben Affleck.
Mm.
And your aunt is J-Lo.
It kind of reminds me, like, do you remember, like, in high school when all the band kids would, like, just, like, date each other or whatever? Like, that's what all these
that's Hollywood, what Hollywood is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just high school band.
We went off the rails. I feel like
yeah.
I'm glad I convinced you to talk about celebrity couples.
I'm glad we're here too.
We would have just ended it. Instead, we're now talking for
yeah. And I'm glad you longer. All for those who have stayed with us an hour and 17 minutes in. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. But I guess we're gonna see you next week. And as always, thanks to Mary Sprague for our music.
And we're on Spotify now.
Oh, and we're on Spotify now. So if
follow us on
if you weren't already listening to us on Apple Podcasts, I guess go to Spotify if you would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you stumbled upon us on Spotify, welcome.
Welcome. Yay. Okay.
Bye.